Okay, we're doing our class on the Jewish home, and our subject tonight is you could marry who you want, but you can't be married to who you want. You can marry who you want, but you cannot be married to who you want. And we'll explain. You date. It's your choice who to marry. You might choose someone and she won't choose you, but you can choose who to marry. What happens after we get married is that we suddenly realize who we just married. And it's not exactly who you thought you married. And this brings out a harsh reality. After you're married, you discover that your wife has this crazy expectation that when you come home after a day's work, you help. Weird. And not only that, but she expects that when you lie in bed at night and you take off your socks, you go to the hamper and put them in. It's a weird thing, but they have this expectation. And she actually thinks that if you lie in bed and use floss, it belongs in the garbage can and it cannot be placed next to the bed till tomorrow morning when you'll forget it. She has this expectation. And for whatever reason, she thinks that if you're eating an apple as you're working on the computer and you put down the core after you finished eating it with the sincere intention of taking it to the garbage when you're done, but you've forgotten every other time, she for some reason thinks that's a problem. And then you have this weird thing that happens in marriage that you tell your wife you're going to help and you wash the floor. And she comes in and closes the door and looks behind the door and sees that you didn't wash there. And she says, "Didn't anyone teach you how to wash the floor?" And you look at that and you say, "Look at the middle of the room, honey, look. The middle's real clean." And then she goes by the feet of the table and the feet of the chairs and she says, "You didn't move anything. You just washed the floor like that." And then you sit down and you've had a hard day's work and you've come home at that really late hour of 6:30 at night. And by the time you can actually sit down to eat, you sit down and you make yourself something to eat. And you finish eating and you wash off the spoon but leave out the plate and leave out the food out of the fridge. And then you ask her if she's ready to go to bed. And she gives you this look that says, "Why are you ready to go to bed?" And you suddenly discover she thinks you shouldn't be going to bed so fast. And you sit there and you're starting to think of those torture sessions you heard about where they make a person stay awake way beyond what they can handle. And you're looking at her and you go, "I've been up since real early." And she gives you that look that says, "How dare you think of going to sleep right now? You can't figure out what you want from your life." And then she says that one-liner that says, "Sleep well, honey." And you know you're in big trouble. So when you get married, you suddenly discover that she has expectations that are different than ours, to the point of cleaning up after you ate, putting the food back in the fridge. She thinks that before you buy a laptop for 15,000 shekel, you should discuss it. And you don't understand her. Meaning it's a little weird, because when she comes back from the shekel store after spending 4 shekel, you sit there looking at the items she bought and you wonder, "Why'd you buy that?" But when you walk in through the door with a 15,000 shekel laptop, which you forgot to mention to her, and she looks at you and says, "I thought we didn't have 4 shekel. When I came home yesterday with 4 shekel items, you said we don't have those 4 shekel. Where'd you get the 15,000 from, honey?" And suddenly you discover that this is who you're married to. This is going to happen for the rest of your life. So in marriage, we have a reality. We can choose who we marry. We cannot choose who we are married to. After you are married, you discover that men and women are very different. We're different. And she's not embarrassed to be who she is. And it could be while you were dating, these things don't come up. But then afterwards, they come up. And they come up in ways you don't expect them. Your wife suddenly has an opinion about when you wake up so late and miss davening Shabbos morning. And you tell her, honey, it's okay, there's a Chabad minyan that starts at 10. And she's thinking, Shabbos ends at 4. You're going to walk back from that Chabad minyan at 2. So we're going to sit down for the meal at 2:15. We invited guests for 20 minutes from now. And she's looking at you and saying, you're going to go down in Chabad. I don't want to discuss Man Tefillah. It's not my problem. It's your problem. I meant your mitzvah. But we do have guests in 20 minutes. And if you go to Chabad, you're going to get back at 1, 2, and you tell her, don't worry, I'm a speed davener, it's fine, right? I can be in and out in time for the guests. And again, she gives you one of those looks, and you're trying to figure out what she wants from you, and she says, so I'm dealing with the kids, and when your friends, all those guys show up, you want me to entertain them till you show up from shul? Didn't we discuss that I shouldn't be schmoozing with your friends? And you say, I'll be right back, don't worry. And she gives you this look that says, how are you going to do that? You're going to daven in and out Shabbos morning, Kriya Satorah. So you walk into marriage, and she never said a word about your showing up late to shul beforehand. And then you're in marriage, and suddenly you discover that it's not exactly what you thought it would be. And I gave innocent, classical examples. In real life, it's a little bit more difficult. You married a girl who comes from a home where it's normal to scream at the top of their lungs because you stepped on her freshly washed floor. You married a girl where it's normal and actually considered feminine to yell at the top of your lungs and tell your spouse that you regret the day they married you. You married a girl that thinks that it's perfectly normal when she's upset at you to take your laptop and throw it on the floor. You discover things that you don't view so positively about your spouse. And this will happen. This isn't a bad prophecy. This is just the way life works. After you get married and you start to get to know your spouse, you start learning about their strengths and weaknesses and differences between men and women and cultural differences. There are huge differences in the way we talk. And sometimes it can be very annoying because, let's take an example. It's Friday afternoon. If you want to take a shower, she tells you, oh, you're going to take an hour-long shower now when we need to get everything ready for Shabbos. But if she needs to take a shower, she'll tell you, I'm just going to hop in for a second, I'll be right back. Wait a second, by you it's hopping in for a second, but by me it's an hour-long shower. So there are differences between men and women, there are cultural differences, and then there are the weaknesses that she has. And this brings us back to the point we began with. You can choose who you marry. You cannot choose who you're married to. Now, the real point that we have to learn, and this is a real key to happiness in marriage, is you're not going to change her. So most people take about 15 to 20 years in a miserable marriage to realize they're not going to change her. But if you'd come to that conclusion 2 years into the marriage, you'd be much happier. Because if you realize that when you're supposed to be there for Shabbos at 4 o'clock by her parents, and it's right now 2 o'clock, and you have an hour-long drive, and you tell her, honey, I'm just going to take a shower, and I didn't work out yet today, and but we're going to go in a minute. Give me just a few minutes. and she gets really annoyed when she's under pressure and gets to her parents in the last minute with your tongue sticking out and her tongue sticking out and the pressure of the drive, if you'd realize that, let's not say she's right. Right now it might sound like she's right, but when you're in the moment, you're sure she's wrong. So let's imagine she's wrong. She's wrong for caring that you didn't clean behind the door, because you're a guy and guys have to hear they're great. And that's the end of the game, okay? We are male, and we always want to hear we're great, and if she says that something less than that, then we are mortally wounded. We can tell her little things, but if she dares tell us we're not great, then we have a big problem. So we swallow it and we move on, but we're upset. So there's a reality. She will comment every time you don't clean behind the door. Now, what's the reality of the man? He walks into the house, and there's a catastrophe. The light blew. So he takes out a chair, and he brings a new light bulb, and he unscrews the old one, and he rescrews a new one. And when he's done, he's standing there doing this. Didn't I just save your life, honey? Right? He's waiting for a round of applause. He wants his wife to bake a new cake and say, "You're amazing. You saved my life." Sounds funny? It's real. And if she does it, you'll be happy. But no wife does it. Even if they listen to this class, they're not going to do that. What they do is they say, "You know, it's been 3 weeks I've been waiting for you to do that." And you go, "Why didn't you tell me?" And she says, "I told you every other day. I was scared of nagging." And you're thinking, "Nagging? You needed the light bulb change. Why didn't you tell me?" And she says, I did. And then you get annoyed. Oh, so even when I do it, you're never happy, right? So again, I'm not saying she's right. She's wrong. You're right. You're the champion who changed the light bulb. You're great. You're 100% right. She's wrong. Fine? She's wrong. We'll take that as a given. But you married her. And there's this reality that whatever you do, she has comments. Almost everything you do. When you don't change the light bulb, she's upset you didn't. When you do change the light bulb, why did it take you so long? And there are another two you were supposed to deal with, remember? The kids are waiting for you to put training wheels on their bike. If you're already into the fix-it mood, it's almost winter and the kids won't have bikes to ride on until it's too late. So you did what was right. Now she has a million more comments. Wait a second. Now you're married. This is our class on post-marriage. So what happens? You get annoyed. And you start telling her, "You know, if you'd comment a little bit less, it would be much more fun to do things in this house. If you could only say positive things, things would be great." What'd you just do? You said, "This is you, and I don't like you. I want you to be different." Oh, you didn't say those words. You said it much more eloquently. You said, "I went to this class, and they said you can affect change much better in people if you say it positively. Did you notice how I'm trying to say it positively? I always try to say things positively to you. It would be much nicer if you said it that way." Boom. She's not talking to you for the next 2 hours. "Honey, I'm just trying to help. You'll have a better life that way." We are constantly faced with personality traits that we view as weaknesses and faults in our spouse. And what most people spend their married life doing is going between biting their tongue and commenting and fighting with their spouse over points that are not going to change. This is who she is, and this is reality. And the sooner we're willing to accept that reality, the sooner we can be happy with it. So you can accept the reality and say, "Boy, did I lose out. Everyone else is better off than me." You know how many times a month I meet with people who tell me that? "I know you say it in your classes, Rabbi, but I'm really having it miserable." Right? Everyone's convinced they're really having it miserable. No. Marriage involves accepting the other person for who they are, with their personality and their weaknesses and their tendencies and their social norms, accepting them. This is who she is. It's a given. And I'll give you an example of how we know how to do this. So let's imagine the following scene. A woman's sitting at home and someone walks into the house. They walk in and they slam the door shut and their feet are dirty. And they walk across the floor, and they get the floor all dirty. And then they come and they see what the woman's in the middle of making in the kitchen. They stick their nose in, and they decide they're going to stick a finger in, and they eat some. Now their fingers aren't so clean. They actually have mud on them. And she's in the middle of baking a cake that she's been working on for 3 hours. How does the woman react? Now what's worse is, this person who came in has lice crawling on them. And they're walking into your house. And you see the lice. And what's worse is, the person doesn't have such good control of their bowels. So when they walk into your house, there's this foul odor that comes in with them. So if this person is your son who is 2.5 years old with a diaper, who just came in from the playground, then you don't have a problem with it, right? So what if he has mud in his fingernails and before you saw it, he stuck his finger into your freshly baked cake? If you're a decent mother, then you say, oh, I better get the lice comb. Oh, I better get the lice shampoo. Oh, I better get you clean. I wonder if I can salvage that cake without anyone knowing what just happened. You say all kinds of interesting things. But do you go off your rocker at the kid? Are you mad ballistic at this child? Now let's fast forward. It's an adult. He's 25 years old. He doesn't have such good control of his bowel movements. He has mud under his fingernails. He walked in, slammed the door, got your floor dirty, and went and took some of your cake, dipped his finger in. How do you react? It's your husband. Is it his fault that he doesn't have such control over his bowel movements? Can you look at him kindly, fondly, affectionately? Now it's your wife. Now imagine for 1 second it's your wife. Can you love her? Well, when it's your child, you can. That means we're capable of it. It's a question of perspective. We are all capable of dealing with a child that has a dirty diaper. It's not fun. No one likes it. But you can do it, right? You have no problem. What happens when it's an adult? What happens when there's someone there who why don't we have patience? I'm going to tell you a formula. It's one formula. One formula you have to remember. Do my expectations come before my love, or does my love come before my expectations? It's a choice we make. So usually we approach people and we think it's perfectly legitimate that my expectations should come before my love, which is another way of saying my love is conditional. You do what I want, then I'll love you. Really? That's some kind of love you're offering me. Is that fair? Is that what we want to receive? But I'll tell you the truth, it's the way we work, and to work differently involves a lot of hard work. It doesn't come naturally to us. The natural way we connect with our spouse is, I have expectations, lady. You do yours, I do mine. Of course I love you. No, you don't. If you love me, then the love comes before the expectations. Can you do that? The answer is you can. But it involves a paradigm shift. We walk into marriage with this understanding. I know what I want from you. I know what you're entitled to ask of me. I will try to do my end. You do your end. And of course I love you. Of course. Really. That's love. Love is, let's take an example. You've had a hard night. This is going to happen. Your child keeps you up at night. And now someone has to deal with the child. I remember once my wife and I were sick. And then one of the kids got sick. And we had fevers. We were so out of it. I don't remember. One of us fainted. Literally fainted. Boom. I don't remember if it was me or her. I don't remember. Now you have to deal. There's a child that needs you. You're a parent. What are you going to do? What? You have to perform. Right. The question isn't what you do. The question is, how do you look at her? When she's lying in bed and says, I'm finished, I have to stay here. Do you look at her and say, honey, I'm finished too. Get up and deal. Oh, we say it more eloquently, right? We say it nicer. We say things like, Shmerel's crying. You might not have heard him, but he's in the crib crying. He must be hungry. I think he needs a diaper change. Now you continue snoring. I did mine. I told her. Do I have expectations that come before my love? Or do I have love that comes before my expectations? it's a level of greatness, but it's a level every person does with their children. We do it. Normal parents give love without expectations. On the contrary, you'll sit at a Shabbos table and your kid will tell you you're a dunce. Your kid will tell you you don't understand. Your kid will tell you all kinds of wonderful lines, and your love doesn't shift. You might be a shtickle annoyed, but your love doesn't shift if you're a normal parent. You deal with it. You say, hopefully it'll pass. You tell yourself, I'm not sure I did less bad to my own parents. You deal, because we are capable of that love. We have to be prepared to give it to our spouse. And that also involves making a decision. This is mine. We're in it for life. We destroy our own marriages when we keep thinking in the back of our minds, this doesn't have to be forever. And if a person's willing to think that way, they will never last the marriage. Any marriage that runs with the perspective of, there are other options out there, then you'll always pull out, because marriage will always involve difficulty. But again, marriage is the greatest thing in life. It's the sweetest thing in life. These are the building blocks of making the marriage work. If you can get a love that you know is unconditional, if you know your spouse loves you before their expectations, irrespective of their expectations, then you can be the happiest person on the planet. The question is, can we give that type of love? And the answer is, we can. We just have to develop it. We have to change our perspective so that we expect of ourselves to give that. I'm not talking about being a big tzaddik. I'm talking about being a good husband. So I'll be with you in 1 second. Let's review what we discussed today. We discussed, you can choose who you marry. You can't choose who you're married to. We discussed that after marriage, you discover your wife has personality traits, weaknesses, cultural differences, things that are difficult for you, objectively difficult. You don't agree with them. You don't believe she should be this way. If you are like most people, you will spend 20 years of misery commenting, trying, believing you can affect change until you come to a realization you're stuck with her. If you want to be happy in marriage, then you don't try to change her. You accept it and work with it. And you realize everyone's accepting things in marriage. And then we discuss the idea that we are capable, as we do with children, of putting our love before our expectations. It is not the natural way we approach a marriage. Our natural approach is we have expectations and we have our love, and we think we're entitled to the expectations irrespective of the love. And if we want a beautiful marriage, we have to be prepared to put our love before our expectations. And even if I'm not getting my expectations, that's not the point. And that's how you deal with a wife who says, I need to stay in bed till 10 in the morning. Or, I need to get my nap in the middle of the day. I need you to do A or B or C or D. And you feel like, this is ridiculous. Why do I have to do so much? Well, that's, every person is going to have to deal with areas where they feel their marriage is ridiculous. And these are the tools that help us build happy, loving, beautiful marriages, because everyone is faced with that. That's part and parcel of the relationship. Okay.